We were actually very fortunate because there was the global import crisis last year was just could have been far more catastrophic than it had been. It captured a record 29% of the market share. That was worse than it was in like the early 2000s when you had steel companies that had been around for a century, like LTV and Bethlehem and National and Youngstown, just filing bankruptcy and disappearing. And the imports were much higher last year, but so far this year, the domestic steelmakers have filed like several trade cases. They just recently initiated another federal investigation into stainless steel dumping from China, and the tariffs are starting to take effect. Their imports are down 40% so far this year, which is huge, and the market share has gone down for imports has gone down to a much more reasonable 23%. And it's not just that it's stealing business away from us, even though demand is higher, but it also depresses prices because we had demand go up last year, but then prices are down, which is not the way the market is supposed to work, and it led to an estimated like 12,000 steelworker layoffs nationwide. But so far this year, with imports kind of receding a little bit, the local steel production in the Great Lakes region, which is mainly Northwest Indiana, mainly Lake and Porter counties, has been trending upward. It's been up like 7 out of the past 11 weeks. It's up to 656,000 last week, which is not it could be higher, but that's more in the normal range. It was almost 100,000 tons, like lower than that, some weeks last year during the depths of kind of the, depression in the industry. So it does seem to be, on the upswing. Some of the steelworkers have suggested, because contract negotiations with ArcelorMittal are not yet resolved, unfortunately, and some steelworkers have suggested, well, maybe they're stockpiling in the event of a strike, but it's more than just one steelmaker. It seems to be the national output seems to be back up as well.
Now, we know, too, that Congressman Pete Visklosky and Senator Joe Donnelly, both, of course, from Indiana, and Mr. Visklosky from Northwest Indiana, have worked very hard to fight this issue of steel dumping that, in turn, led to some action in Washington here lately. Is it just a little early to tell whether some of the improvement in shipments is due to that, increased tariffs kicking in?
Well, the trade cases have definitely helped. Some of the tariffs have already taken effect. The final determinations haven't been made, but they're already collecting tariffs at the port. That definitely serves as a deterrence, because what you basically had is China has built up like 700 million tons of overcapacity. It had that economic boom in the mid-2000s, and they just built all these steel mills. At the time, like, our steel mills were exporting steel there. Like, U.S. Steel was making a fortune selling steel to China, but they decided to build up their own mills, and they've been keeping their mills going even though the demand there has slackened. And last year, they exported 120 million tons of steel across the world, which is more than we even made. America is the third biggest steel maker in the entire world. We made 86 million tons, but China, to give you an idea, exported more, and it's caused economic havoc all over the world. You had steel mills in Scotland that had been around for a century that went out of business because of it. The European Union is now considering pretty big tariffs against China because of the impact it's had, and it's kind of had a ripple effect too, because China will dump steel in other countries that it can't sell at a loss of like $75 a ton, where they're getting heavy government subsidies. The government is paying the electric bills to the steel mill. They're enjoying all kinds of government help that steelmakers in this country don't receive, and steelmakers in most other countries don't receive. But they would, for instance, dump steel in Russia, and then Russia would have excess steel that they sent here to Sevastopol in the port of Indiana, Burns Harbor, where they have an operation. And then those guys were working like 3 days a week because they had all this steel from Russia that they couldn't unload. So there was no need to produce any more here. So it's the tariffs can only help. The market seems to be extremely happy with the tariffs. U.S. steel stock had hit like a low, historic low, like of around, I don't remember exactly, but $6.67 a share, something to that effect. Lowest it's been in a century. But since they got a positive 266% tariff announced on Chinese cold rolled steel, the stock has jumped up again to around $14 a share. And Arcelor's stock is on the upswing too. So Wall Street, which has kind of been they've been very down on steel makers lately. Like, some have suggested whether U.S. Steel can even survive, like if it's, just going to burn through cash and if it's viable. And they get to the point where they're using steel as just like a It's just like a diss, like where it's like supposed to be a distressed industry. Like one venture capitalist was bashing like Apple stock, and he's like, it's trading like a, you know, a steel business or a steel mill going out of business. But they seem to be a little bit more optimistic now that these tariffs are being enforced.
Now, I noticed too that ArcelorMittal is in the news here. They have, of course, been in the news, as you mentioned earlier here, about the fact that they're still in negotiations with the United Steelworkers Union on a new contract. And we note here lately that they're also taking a look here at Wall Street, trying to get some extra money from their investors. Tell us what that's about.
Oh, yes. Well, they had a pretty disastrous year last year. We thought it was bad when U.S. Steel lost $1.5 billion. The in the past 6 out of 7 years, it's lost money 6 times in 7 years, which is not good. But it was Arcelor just had a catastrophic loss of $8 billion. Though it wasn't really, you know, ArcelorMittal North American operations, they were profitable in at least a quarter or two, but it's a huge global company. And it's not only the world's largest producer of steel by volume, but they also have, you know, extensive mining operations across the world. And a big part of their problem was with China exporting so much, like, cheap steel everywhere. It was depressing prices of all the, like, the iron ore they mine and everything. So they had to write down these huge losses in their overseas mining operations of all the cash flow they're not going to get because prices are so depressed. But then they're currently, with them losing so much money, they're $16 billion in debt, a lot of which is from when they were still created back in, back when Mittal merged with Arcelor and, after the carnage of the last, like, import crisis. But they are... they're $16 billion in debt, and they're trying to kind of get that to more manageable and under control. So they're selling shareholders. Shareholders can buy 7 stock for every 10 they own at a discounted price, and they're hoping to raise $3 billion to that to kind of improve their balance sheet. And unfortunately, they're looking at other ways to kind of get their operating costs under control. They've made no secret that they're looking to reduce finishing capacity, especially in the United States. They went through a similar thing in Europe a couple years ago, where they took a lot of like finishing lines offline. They've said here they don't want to take any of their blast furnaces offline, so it's not like any mills would close or anything. But because they don't want to give up the market share to, you know, their competitors like U.S. Steel or whoever. But they are looking at closing finishing lines, and they have talked about ArcelorMittal, Indiana Harbor, East and West is possibly closing some of the finishing lines there. The union has been in negotiations with them about that. The union is generally agreeable to the concept. What they're hoping for, though, is that the, if they close lines, they're going to invest capital into other lines to ensure they're more manageable, or to ensure that, you know, their future, to ensure, you know, the remaining lines are up to date and modern and keep going. And that they don't, eventually that's not lost to some newer facility somewhere, like that new Calvert plant in Alabama, where some of our local production had been transferred because it just happened to be, a newer facility that Arcelor acquired. But they are, but whenever there's a new contract, it's probably going to include some of our local finishing lines closing, but it won't. This union is saying, though, there won't be any layoffs. There's already a lot of attrition because the workforce is kind of aged, and then it's huge. We're talking about like a that steel mills could be a city in its own right. It's massive. There's work for them, elsewhere. There they can just be transferred to other, divisions and departments.
I know that the union in particular has worked very closely with all the steelmakers here in Northwest Indiana in the years past here to try to improve educational opportunities, for training opportunities as well too, to look for younger employees. So obviously the mills aren't going to close down, or at least the companies say that they aren't anyway. And this is probably proof of that they're looking to find more people that will move into these other jobs that get readjusted.
No, yeah, some on the Wall Street have been like, they've even suggested U.S. Steel should fire Chapter 11 and that type of thing, and some of them are not too bullish on the future of these companies. But just generally agreed, though, that a steelmaker that doesn't have much of a local presence, AK Steel, would likely be the first, if any were to go under. it would likely be the first to go under, and they don't really have any presence here in Northwest Indiana, so that they're generally considered the weakest of the domestic steelmakers. But it's been said by people in trade publications too that it takes forever for a steel business to go under. But I wouldn't expect. They seem to have weathered the brunt of the storm. The market conditions seem to be picking up. Arcelor is encouraged; is starting to raise prices a little bit where it can. Some people are doom and gloom, but it's you'd hope steel is such a huge part of our heritage. My great grandfather came here to work in a mill. My grandfather worked in a mill. It's in the almost every family in Northwest Indiana has been touched by steel in some form or fashion. We'd sincerely hope it would remain here, obviously, for another century.
Well, it sounds like that's going to be the case here. As we've seen already in recent years, it's not the steel industry that it used to be, but it still will be around and still will be serving Northwest Indiana's economy in some way or another. Joseph, thank you very much for being with us to bring us the update on the steel industry, the increased shipments, showing that some of the changes made on Capitol Hill have made some good, and we hope that we'll see more changes and good ones coming up here as well, too. Joseph Peete is a business writer for the Northwest Indiana Times, and he's been focusing lately on the steel industry. Joseph, thanks for being with us today.
Oh, thank you, Chris. It was a pleasure.